You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right,
let's
podcast.
Do this.
Ben has a dog. Yay.
I'm sleepy.
Are you tired?
Yeah, of course I'm tired, dude.
Okay, I'll carry us.
Yeah,
I have
please.
Lots of topics.
I'm ready for a piggyback ride this podcast.
You just kept waking up all last night?
I slept from midnight till 3 and 4 to 6. And then I tried to nap at 9, but I'm not a good napper.
You knew this was coming, though.
I did.
You're mentally still prepared.
Yeah, it's fine. I have no regrets.
Okay.
Just tired.
Yeah. Give it a couple days.
Might skip my basketball game tonight.
Having a kid is hard.
Dude, having a kid is hard.
Remember that? You know this. This happened at our 5-year reunion. Some girl came up to you, grabbed
oh,
you
God,
by the
yeah,
arm
yeah,
like
yeah,
a
yeah.
junkie and was like, having a kid is hard.
Yeah, she had twins on accident. She had out of wedlock twins.
And then
just, I don't even know her that well. I was like, how's it going? She's like, it's so hard. Seems like you should be telling a loved one this, not
therapist
me.
Yeah. Or someone.
That was it. I haven't talked to her since.
Yep. That was the end. I'm sure she's great. They're the love of her life.
Yeah, yeah. It worked out. They got divorced, but...
Did they?
Yeah.
What do you know? Out of wedlock, babies...
The twins couldn't make it last.
At age 19.
Yeah.
Isn't going to do it for you. Surprise. So, yeah. So, you have a puppy. I made a lot of lists. You haven't heard any of the Comic-Con stuff, though.
No.
So, good stuff. Taika is on for Thor 4.
Okay.
Which is called Thor Love and Thunder. And I'm sure he's going to do it his own way. Chris Hemsworth was there. It's got Tessa Thompson. It's got the things, you know, all the people that you would want to be in it are in it.
Nice.
Comes out in 2020. What were the other Comic-Con stuff? They're coming out with a new Blade movie, which people apparently care about. I think you like Blade.
I liked Blade.
I guess
I liked
Blade
3 with Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
It gave me body aspirations.
I was going to say, that defined your workout scheme
for
probably
it's like,
the next 10
I
years.
I want to look like Ryan Reynolds when he's in the handcuffs.
When he's in the handcuffs, yep. Kneeling with his abs.
Yep. And I've worked my whole life
to
just
get
to
there.
Try.
Yeah, that movie was definitional for you. That's incredible. I never watched Blade, so I didn't.
Oh, they're great.
I think I'm scared of vampires.
Oh, really?
Or anything. We turned on Zodiac last night. Have you ever seen that?
No.
Like 10 years old. It's Robert Downey and Jake Gyllenhaal. It's on Netflix, which is why. And I got 20 minutes in before the serial killer makes his second kill. And I was like, I don't need this in my brain.
Yeah.
I don't want to have this in my dreams. I'm done.
I agree with that, but I actually, you know this, used to want to be a vampire when I was a kid.
For what reason?
When I was 13,
that's
I LARPed.
That's because Blade vampires are super cool.
They are cool, yeah.
Okay. So tell us about the LARPing.
No, I just used to go. It's the weirdest thing ever. I was 13, and me and my friend used to go up to Muhlenberg College because his brother was in college and hang out with a bunch of 18 to 21-year-olds and pretend to be vampires.
You probably thought they were the coolest.
It was awesome. First of all, the women were so beautiful because they were actually full-bodied women. So I'm sure they weren't, but I was just like, I love you. I was also 5'1", you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just this time, I was like, it was fun.
You're
I don't know why my parents
me.
Let me do that, too. I was
just
like,
go hang out with 18-year-olds?
Just let me go hang out at college.
Was there drinking or anything like
no,
that?
No, of course not.
It was just straight-up role-playing.
Yeah, man, LARPers are there to LARP.
Why would you drink?
Yeah, you get Denny's after at like 3 a.m. This is my life, dude.
There's no time to drink.
I was so embarrassed of this.
You didn't tell me.
I was 13, no.
I learned this
one
in my
person
late
knew.
20s.
No.
Yeah.
I only feel comfortable admitting it now that I'm older.
It was well after Role Models came out because I was like, wow, LARPing. I didn't know this existed. You're
oh,
like,
yeah. I think I might have come out of closet because of that movie. No one knew what it was. And then they're like, wow, this is crazy. I was like, yeah, I used to do this.
So we have that.
I have no regrets. I wish we would do it more.
Yeah. I'll LARP, man.
It's fun. Game.
I've told you, I've got Three Kingdoms. That's essentially LARPing on the computer. You run around.
What that is.
That's my Chinese game where I run around and pretend that I'm Liu Bei. Yeah. And make decisions for the country. But so there's Blade. There was that. What were the other big Comic-Con releases? This was pre-Comic-Con. So 007, new movie coming out.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't heard this.
Idris Elba?
No.
Oh.
007 is going to be a black woman.
Okay.
So I'm curious what you think. I just sprung this on you. Okay. On live. Not live.
I'm not surprised.
So I was totally down for Idris Elba. Don't care. White, black, doesn't matter to me. I feel like a critical part, and this isn't James Bond, but of the character that I watch 007 be, is the seductive aspect.
Yeah, well, maybe she'll be really seductive.
Maybe. Maybe they'll do it interestingly. What's, I have no
is
idea.
Is it set in 2019?
It's set in 2019. Well, it's set with an old Daniel Craig, and I guess they're trying to have him be like, no, this is still a James Bond movie, so he's in the beginning. Apparently, what they've said, and mild spoilers for the beginning, is that he will try to seduce her at the beginning, I presume unsuccessfully. Which
of
is
course.
Like, yeah, of course. Because now he can't do it. Because
of course.
And it's just, I think what that... It's,
well, no,
it's,
no, it's not because he's old. It's because she's special.
Well, this is an interesting thing. It made me think of the culture code and how in different cultures, different words have different meanings.
Sure.
And in the culture code, they were trying to research what sex and seduction meant in France. And in France, it's like a game.
Mm-hmm.
And in America, they're trying to understand what seduction was. And it's deception.
Yeah.
Trickery, manipulation is what seduction codes as in the American brain, which is unfortunate, honestly,
That's why when you go to Europe for the first time, it's mind-blowing.
Yeah, that they're just, their attitude towards it is actually far more egalitarian, which is weird because the way that they're going to show that she is an equal to James Bond is that she will not engage in intercourse with him or anything like that. Not that she could if she wanted to, that she is...
She'll say no.
Yes.
Instead of seducing him.
Exactly.
And it's, should be a funny scene.
It's just interesting that that's the way that Americans think of it.
The only thing that comes to my mind, did you ever see the Trevor Noah stand-up where he talks about Idris Elba being James Bond?
No.
So, oh, really? It's
no.
Hilarious. So he says, I saw it and I was all on board. I was like, yeah, Black Lives Matter. I'm going to have a black James Bond. This is amazing. We have to do this. Everyone who says that this can't happen, you're a racist. This is bad. He's like all on board. And then he went to Scotland. And he was the only black guy. And he's walking around. He's like, this would make for a pretty bad spot. He's like, Idris Elba walks in, like slow motion walks in.
Yeah.
Oh, shaking, not stirred. I'm James Bond. Yeah, I know. How'd you know? You're the only... I got you.
I got you.
He just goes on this whole thing of like, there's a car chase, you know?
Yeah.
And they're going through. And then like Idris Elba escapes into a crowd. And they go, oh, there he is. It's the black guy. Because he's the only black guy in Scotland. So it's like, there's no melting into a crowd.
Yeah, he's going to have to go abroad for this one. Well, she's going to have to go abroad.
So that was Trevor Noah's
definitely
take.
Not Scotland. Or at least not be a super spy. Yeah, so I
would, I'm not surprised by this at all.
I just hope that...
I'm curious to see how it does.
Make whatever movie you want. Some of my favorite scenes in Casino Royale are the interplay between Vesper and James. Is that scene on the train where they flirt and he ends with, you know, how is your meal? He's skewered, one sympathizes. That entire scene I love so much. And
she'll be a dope seductress.
Maybe. And maybe it'll be awesome. I'm not anticipating that. I feel like it's the way that female empowerment is often depicted is not that. It's weirdly... Not weirdly, it just doesn't involve relationships. Female empowerment is almost defined by there is no man. That's the Frozen thing. Like, okay, he's in the background. And I don't mind that that's the case, but I like that in my James Bond movies that there's that tension, which I am presuming is not going to be there.
No.
So we'll see. If it gets good reviews, I'll see it. If it doesn't, I'll
franchises
pass.
That are a million years old, do you see they're making a new Top Gun?
Yeah. Yeah.
Apparently Tom Cruise is insane, and in a good way, I mean this. He... refused to do any of it CGI.
Oh, that's how he's been for a long time.
Listen, we're going to do this in fighter planes, so we got to find actors and actresses that can handle the G-force of a fighter plane. Because some humans just pass out.
And cameras that can take 9 G's.
Exactly. They bought special cameras that can take 9 G's. So these actors are just like trying to remember their lines while they're like in and out of blackout.
Yeah, it's going to be method acting at its finest.
It's awesome. No, he's like, it's real. You'll really see what it's like to be affected by that because it's not someone just pretending.
Yeah.
It's someone whose blood is actually aggressively trying to get them to pass out.
I watched Tim Wacona. He's so into it, man.
Yeah, he's so charismatic.
And I think he's almost totally carried by his passion. He obviously does a lot of things right, but he is I love movies. I love flying. He's just into everything that he does, which is
well. I like it's that he. Contagious. I wanted to, if we ever do a breakdown on group interactions, he does a really good job of him and Conan are talking, and he keeps engaging Andy, the other guy, who refuses to let him just be a wallflower, which I'm sure Andy loves him for.
Interesting. And I noticed I did the breakdown on him. I remember he's very good with names. Mm-hmm. He constantly he's personal in the way that he interacts with people, as I think.
I was watching. I was like, Conan probably thinks he's cool, but I'm sure Andy loves him because he keeps being like, what do you, not just like making jokes about him, being like, what do you think? What would your name be if you were a pilot, like a fighter pilot?
Yeah.
And it's just cool. To,
and he's not even facing him. I actually watched it after you said so. He like remembers that he's on his six.
Yeah.
On your six.
No, I think it would be a good breakdown.
We could do it. So let me see what other notes that I made right here. So we got Taika on. We got 007. We've got, well, then there's, this is a hard left turn. You want the hard left turn?
Sure.
So we were, our buddy was here, Benji, and we were looking at this, I don't know, he was on his Facebook that linked him to a GoFundMe, and there was a couple of these that I saw. There's GoFundMes for student debt and to pay student loans. And the one that he looked up was very interesting. Hmm. It's this presumably very smart, I think she's 18 or 19 year old girl, woman. It was an 18, 19-year-old girl or a woman?
I just say woman all the time now, so I don't get flack.
Yeah, so you don't get in trouble.
Oh, your 8-year-old niece? She's a lovely woman. How is she doing?
I respect her very much.
Yeah. How is they doing? Yeah. She's 8, dude. You can just say she's a girl. Sure won't.
Not going to risk it.
Not in 2019.
Yeah, so girl, woman, there's 18 or 19. Woman. So she's out there. She has a GoFundMe because she was accepted into Columbia University, and she's deferred a year because she doesn't have the money. She's $100,000 out of $200,000 of the way there, which is coming from family and debt, and she can't get any more bank loans to give her the debt. And it's this whole thing about it's her dream school, and it's so important that she goes. But the problem is that when you go to Columbia University, it costs $200,000 for 2 years. Actually, it might even be, she might be older, it might be a grad degree. So it costs $200,000 for 2 years, but the average salary out of it is only 50 or 60K.
No, this makes no sense.
For her particular major. To which I'm like,
oh, it's not business school.
Well, why didn't you just talk yourself out of it? With that single sentence. She wants to do, and then she's got, and I'm not trying to pick on her particularly, but I think this is indicative of a type of thinking that was foisted on me as well.
Sure.
She's got this sentence about how she wants to do cross-cultural, connective, da-da-da-da-da, grassroots campaigns, and she needs to go to Columbia to do that, and it's, you don't need to go to Columbia to do grassroots.
Yeah, yeah.
Grassroots, this is the opposite. This is ivory tower, $200,000 of debt, go be a wage slave. If you want to go do grassroots, you could take this money and fly to Africa start there.
You also can't do grassroots because you need to pay off your debt.
Exactly.
So,
and it was an obviously smart person because she was accepted into Columbia University, which you have to at least be able to do the test.
Sure.
And writes this thing that would seemingly talk anyone out of making the decision to do this. And there's, she wanted to.
Guys, I need money. I have a terrible investment.
Yeah.
I'm going to take your 200 grand. I'm going to give you a machine. It's going to give you 10 grand a year for 10 years.
Yeah.
That's only $100,000. Yeah. So I need you to buy it for me because I can't afford it.
It's crazy that it has this monopoly on the idea that this is how you help people.
Yeah.
That this is how you, like Scott Harrison, who does Charity Water, was a promoter.
Yeah.
And then decided to go there, get involved, raise money, and now he does Charity Water. He needs no credentials other than he's done it. And we got sucked into this. We found another one who's a business coach whose name I will not say.
Do we know?
You know him.
Oh.
And
can we say it and edit it out?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you later.
What does it rhyme with?
He has a GoFundMe. He's at least 10 years into student loans. He's got at least 10 to 20 more. He's offering business coaching on his website, and he's going to help you take it to the next level for several thousand dollars, and he's valuing his business and this and that and the other thing.
Sure.
And he's got, between him and his wife, $200,000 worth of student loans, and think how good you'll feel when you help him and his wife pay off their student loans.
Wow.
And it's just, I mean, this is a completely different level of delusional.
Why are you teaching people business?
Yes.
If you can't. If after
10 to 15 years of graduation, you've been doing this, he's been teaching business since at least 2013.
Dude, that's like borderline criminal. It's weird that you can be a business
coach.
Well,
you can ask, and then it's loco ad copy. And it's, we pledge to donate over $1 million forward, and if you do this, think how you'll be helping our family and setting an example for everyone else.
Oh, like he's going to – like he hasn't made enough money to pay off his debt in 15
There's
years.
There's one –
But
yeah,
he's going to make $1 million later. Someday.
Yeah, because he's trapped
donate,
under his debt. And then you go to his website, and everything's perfect.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
You go to the website.
Says that he's a killer.
And
bro, just go make $1 million.
Dude, there's one line that's, why, he says, why donate to us instead of other charities? He goes, well, if you look at the Haiti Disaster Relief Fund, a lot of that money got lost. But if you donate to us, you know that it's going.
Dude.
I know.
If you
I
did
know.
Anything but teach people business, this would be more okay.
I know.
If you were an elementary school teacher... Dude, what?
And it's not just teaching business. He has a number of things, one of which is coaching, I should say. So it's not strictly that. But he offers that for thousands of dollars a month.
Dude, what the...
Yeah, it's crazy. We live in a crazy, crazy world. So that was some funny GoFundMe shenanigans.
That is, like, offensive.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're two very different ones, to be clear. The first one, I honestly feel bad for her because I can relate to that. Everyone has
well,
told you that
you
need
this. Well,
what's
weird is no one is telling her... Don't like why aren't her loved ones
the, well
on
the banks
there?
Are telling her
no but
the
her loved
banks
one,
are telling
her
no
donated $100,000 right well, like, why weren't her parents like hey.
No they didn't donate she got a couple tens from her loved ones but the banks would only give her 60 they're like you can't make this
yeah,
back
yeah, yeah.
You cannot afford this burden they've told her
crazy
in the most direct way possible
yeah trust me they'll take your interest
yeah
if they thought that you could eventually pay this if they thought you could pay this off in 30 years
yeah
paying the most interest possible they'd be lining up for your business
yep
that's actually very interesting to think about it
the
like
ones
that. If a bank ever rejects you
don't do it
pause
yeah
pause it
yep and then
interesting.
So that was
I
that
like
was,
those
this is what happens when I spend way too much time on the internet
my schadenfreude is excited
yeah well I've relapsed this week I started looking up things on the internet
good
but I shouldn't be looking that, it makes for a more interesting
yeah,
podcast
I got nothing
but so I got a lot and then I watched I was prepping because I felt bad about last week
good
where I just kind of showed up and winged it so I watched two documentaries the first one well this is the second one was called Happy it's on Amazon if you want to watch it and it's all stuff that you know it's
okay.
All the things that make people happy are not the things that you would expect yeah. Money over 50 to 70K really does not contribute to happiness
super similar to the book Stumbling on Happiness
yes
okay.
I mean Dan Gilbert's in it
oh okay
so but the anecdotes are interesting, and seeing people really does drive the point home. There are a couple of things that I don't necessarily have points to, but you just might find interesting. So Bhutan, which is a small country over mm-hmm. in Southeast Asia, actually has a minister that's like a chief happiness minister or something like that.
Oh.
And they make, as far as this documentary purports, decisions about policy based on if it will make people happier. Which is pretty cool.
That's really cool.
So they had this thing. It was going to be great for economics. It was going to create more thing. But they'd have to displace people. And they crunched the happiness numbers. And they're like, not going to do it.
Wow.
Not going to flood this valley to create a dam which we could sell power to India because we got people living in that valley.
Wow.
And they'll have to move.
America would never do this.
Never, never, right? We're pure. Well, not even pure. We're...
Well, we're all about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Seriously. Our values
yeah.
are all about the pursuit.
Exactly.
Hustling. Oh, dude, people get... tattoos of how hard they like to hustle.
Well, one of the things that this they don't say it, but I was struck by is how the things that make you happy are easy, obvious, oftentimes free, and have been around for tens of millions of years. We can, you know, it's community, it's this, that, the other thing. But the things that you're guided towards, even on an emotional level, on an addictive level, are way stronger and they don't make you happy. So status, looks, money, all of these things. When you allow your pursuit free reign in this kind of market that we have, it takes you so far away from happiness, which is incredible. So there's a number of stories. I thought Bhutan was just awesome, and I kind of want to set that up in our business is what I was thinking. Because obviously the metrics that's easiest to count is viewers, watch hours, money,
students. You don't think we implicitly do that? We definitely think about time.
I think
we protect our time.
What you measure gets managed, mm-hmm. and they measure it. And they just do. They just ask, "How do you feel? What would this?" And we don't do that. And we have auto measured everything else in our business, which will rise to a higher level. So I don't know if it's downloading an app where you track.
What about the fact that more money will make me happy? Now I haven't watched the documentary.
Did they address this?
I haven't watched the documentary, but
That's a good
point. Did they
talk
about that at all?
They talked about other people. They didn't talk about you.
Oh, okay. Cool.
I don't think it applies.
Okay.
And there was a couple. There was a woman who was a small town beauty queen. So she was very pretty. Mm-hmm. And after her first kid, she's still a younger, beautiful person. She's having an argument with her in-law in a van. The in-law drives off in a huff. Her arm gets caught, and she gets drug under
Jesus Christ.
The truck, and her face gets run over.
This took a really
dark. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Wasn't ready for that emotionally.
This one was tricky. And so she kind of breezes over it, but she has like 30 surgeries.
Yeah.
They do their best, but she looks maimed.
It's a horrific experience, I'm sure.
And her husband left her, became an out. Like, things went bad for a long time.
Wow, her husband left her.
Yes. And it's
just because she's less pretty?
She was also, I think, in serious, it put a lot of stress on things in terms of she was disabled and all of this other stuff. But they kind of skip over that. And I would really like them to spend she talks about having been suicidal and just make it a few more months. Clearly a very difficult time. But she comes out after I don't know how many years and purports and says, you know, she's found a new guy who doesn't care about her looks in that way. She connects with people differently than she did before and states that she is happier now than she has ever been in her entire life, and says this was a dark, dark period.
We've talked about that with one of your exes. She's a super, super pretty woman. And so all the feedback she gets socially is totally wonky, because even if she tells a bad joke or a boring story, dudes are just, oh my God, that's so interesting. Oh my God, that's so funny, because they're trying to have sex with her. And so she has never gotten accurate feedback on how to interact with people. And so then when she finds people that aren't trying to sleep with her, she's like, well, I don't get it. These stories normally kill.
Yeah.
It's like, well, yeah, you're kind of getting lied to.
The connection has a, I don't want to say perverted and illiteral, but it's not an honest connection in that sense. Somebody's trying to get something from you. Same thing happens with any beautiful person, or when you're rich, or when you have some sort of status that somebody wants to co-opt.
Sure.
Remember the New York City door people that everybody's best friends with and shaking hands, and it's just walking
door-to-door salesman. I pictured a vacuum cleaner. I was like, go ahead.
Were you trying to get along with that?
Yeah. Okay, sorry. The doorman at the nightclubs.
Who had a sweet vacuum.
Yes.
Yeah,
I got
the
you.
The nightclub guys.
Everyone is trying to be
who
their
shakes
friend.
Hands and buddy, dude, we got to this. It's false. And you have a million acquaintances and no friends.
Yep.
And it's just interesting to see her take joy in the little things and feel what she describes as at peace and calmer and not stressed about the way that she looks.
Yeah.
So that was all just very interesting.
Yeah,
to
I'm
see.
Sure. And more visceral than when you read it in a book.
Of course. Of course. There was a couple other things. I don't need to spend the whole time on it, but
I think this is fascinating.
Yeah.
Let it rip.
Cool. So I wish I'd written more down. There was one completely unrelated
to happiness.
If you
don't think this is fascinating, skip 15 minutes
skip
forward.
15 minutes. There was a bush tribe in Africa.
Okay.
So I'll talk about community after this. But the one random thing was that they're all running around. They're in loincloths. And they have serious duck butt,
distended bellies
and duck butt. And I've heard so many times on YouTube and fitness that the way that a human is supposed to stand is you're supposed to have this tilted forward and this. And it really made me wonder, because these people are not sitting in chairs. What we're told is that the reason that we are shaped a certain way is because of tightness and all this kind of stuff.
So I always talk about these back pain books I've read. Yeah. I read a different back pain book than I've ever talked about on the podcast before. And it's like this big.
Yeah.
And it talks about how we don't understand how we're supposed to stand, sit.
You have not seen people like this.
Well, she points to these people. She goes, listen, these are people who spend all day walking on their feet. They do not have back pain.
Yeah.
They walk 100 miles. They can jog a marathon every day. And they have that. They're like tilted.
Kyphotic, whatever.
And so she recommends sleeping on your side in a certain way, or sleeping on your back in a certain way. And it's helpful. It's
interesting, because not only to myself, but the friends when they're doing squats or whatever, I'm always trying to get that alignment. And what I realize that alignment does is it looks, according to the Western eye, sexier, because you're flexing your abs, you get the ripped abs, you get the flat stomach. And what they look like, not that they're out of shape, it looks like their belly is protruding.
Well, I also think it's like, what are you solving for? Because if you're going to put 500 pounds on your back, you want your spine to just be a ball. Like, you just want it like that.
If you're going to put 500.
You know what I mean? So if you're like, oh, my goal is to squat, it's like, okay, let's just try to get this in a line and not move at all. Because if you tilt it, it's just going to snap under the pressure. But they're doing functional movement.
Yeah.
They're hunting and running, walking around hunting. And running. Yeah. And so they're not trying to solve for being an NFL lineman or a bodybuilder. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of why things got confused.
Yeah.
At least in the U.S. is yeah. Because if what you're solving for is to lift the most weight possible one time, then you're going to get a different looking body and different advice than if your goal is to like be healthy and move well.
Sure. So the whole fitness thing, it really, and we talked about this before, but just through it, I'm just repeating what I've heard. And people tell me that this is proper alignment, and so I act like that's proper alignment sure. and aim for that and repeat it to other people who are newer than I am in the gym. And it's a little bit crazy mm-hmm. because I haven't done any of the primary research, and at least that one thing, I'm interested in functionality. Mm. Now, I'm interested in functionality for my life, not for Bush life, but yeah, why am I trying to get my tuck that yeah, button yeah, yeah. so much? I don't know. So that I just found randomly. They didn't mention it.
Well, dude,
it
I've was had, interesting. I've had an interesting thing because I love surfing, mm-hmm. but also my ego wants me to look a certain way.
Yeah.
You know, I'm convinced that it affects my dating life, even though I'm positive that it doesn't. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like yeah. emotionally.
Emotionally.
I got two brains.
Yeah.
One is convinced
at
that
least two
brains. I'll die yeah. alone if I don't look a certain way. Yeah. And the other one knows for certainty that that's stupid.
Yeah.
But anyway.
And the strong one.
So I was like, okay, my chest muscles don't do anything except for weigh me down in surfing. Mm-hmm. And I'm just 215 is too heavy to be excellent at surfing on a shorter board. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, well, I need to like, you know, just lose that muscle. Like, well, I'm not going to stop working out completely.
Yeah.
Because that'd be crazy. You know, this is where the emotional yeah, yeah. part's like, okay, we agree
it's
with that.
It's never hard for me to get you to go do a day of chest.
We agree with that, but like.
I'm like, yo, Ben, you want to go do chest?
Well,
like,
so now sure. I do one exercise.
Yeah.
I do five sets.
That's why I ask you to do chest.
It takes 8 minutes.
Because it's
fast. I went in with Benji the other day to work out. 8 minutes later, I go, hey, man, I'm done. You ready? He's like, why do you
why
even come
here?
It's like, oh, because my ego won't let me stop completely.
Yeah.
So this is the compromise.
It's
that
like
I've
one
made.
Puff of a cigarette.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So that surfing was in it. Flow states
oh,
that are easily and nature, flow and nature, which is combined very well in surfing.
Oh, they're proponents of surfing.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, they use it as an example of a guy who is doesn't have a lot but is in flow.
Got it.
And gets to go out there and loves it every day and moves around. So there's a lot of interesting stuff. So community I'll come back to because I've mentioned it, but Japan just popped into my head. So Japan, you know, they kill themselves working so hard.
Yeah.
They got a word for it. I forget what it's called.
They don't, aren't their working conditions so bad
it's
that
insane.
They put nets around the buildings?
So that was Foxconn. That was China during the Apple
okay,
thing.
That was China.
And allegedly oversold, but
that's just
people
ridiculous.
Were killing themselves. Yeah. But I also heard they were killing themselves at a rate that is normal for a population that size. So I don't know if it's true
oh,
or false.
Okay.
So just, you got to be careful with, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
In any event.
Well, you tell me what facts you've gotten from a documentary you haven't checked.
Yeah, zero. I just think it's interesting to posit these sorts of things. So Japan, very high work.
Yep.
They take a couple of heart-wrenching stories of a guy with a young daughter who had a heart attack at age 30 yeah. and you know on his eighth day in a row of work, and they told him that he had two plants and there was a problem, and he was on the phone with his supervisor, something was going wrong down, and he according to his wife was yeah he wasn't there for his daughter. They have images of him coming home and the daughter wants to play and he's just so tired and he's trying and he's just dead and now he's dead. And so they talk about the culture, they talk about the happiness in Japan and how despite a huge spike in GDP and average the value of living, it has not gone well for them in terms of happiness. Mm. But they also have the island of Okinawa, which is an island life. And they have on Okinawa, I think per capita, the most people over 100 years old of anywhere.
Yep.
And it's so different, right? It's island life. It's slower. They do not have that work culture for one, but they also have a lot of generational mixing. So the elderly, like it's one, this is the thing that you'll see. There's this community aspect where it's not just your kid, your family, your direct lineage. Mm-hmm. There's this community guardianship over everybody. Mm-hmm. So they've got elderly people interacting with five generations younger than them, constantly around little babies and young people. And they love it, right? They're the happiest people to be around a baby. Yeah. They just see these little kids running and scoop them up and are stoked about it. They've got this group of 16, 80-plus-year-old women who hang out together and they chat and they talk. And it makes the point, it goes to Denmark as well, where communal living is becoming a bigger thing. They have these, they're like apartment buildings except with shared kitchens, spaces, etc. Huh. So that
it's like a dorm.
Yes. And the way that it works is you will cook for everybody once a month. So it actually means that your chores go down on a per daily basis. You come home from work, you have actually time for your kids 27 out of 30 days.
And one day you just spend five hours. Thanksgiving dinner.
They batch it. Yeah. They batch it. And the woman just, I love it. I get to, sure. You know, my life is great. And then I have one day where it's cook day. And that's my entire day.
It's probably not terrible either. You're cooking for a bunch of people that have already cooked for you.
Well, this is how we came up is when you think about it, a family can't survive in the bush, in the wilderness. You need that ability to batch and delegate amongst people. So it makes the point for community as well was another big thing in there.
Well, I've been thinking about this actually because I love Santa Monica. I love LA, but to live where I would like to live up in Malibu is insane, like 10 million plus for a house. And so I've been thinking, where else could I live where I could surf and where I could get that more kind of community?
Yeah.
And my sister loved Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
Loved it because every Sunday she'd go to a barbecue that had 20 of her friends.
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time you had like a recurring 20 people you actually really like thing on your calendar?
Yeah.
Been a long time.
We have one buddy that throws it, and he throws it all the time, and we've only been once. You know what I'm talking
Chandler.
About. Yeah. I don't know if I'm supposed to say his name.
Oh, it's fine. It's awesome.
Sea Dog. Yeah. And
what's the name of his company? Now would be a good time to promote him.
Book writing.
Book guy. Chandler Bolt, the book guy.
Chandler, the book guy.
I think it's cool what he does. So but I've been thinking about that a lot as well.
Yeah, he does games. He does that sort of stuff. So community was in there as one of the big things that makes people happy as well. And there was one other thing that I was going to tell you. If it comes back to me, I'll let you know.
What are your thoughts on community? Because I know you're studying a lot more Eastern philosophy, and you've been talking a lot about Monk on the Mountain.
Yes.
Which is solo, cabin.
So it's interesting. I think that there's value to establishing your ability to do that.
Mm.
And which is why I have tremendous respect for anybody who goes to a Vipassana retreat, who does that 7-day thing in a cabin.
Mm.
Everyone who says there's this core fear of being alone. That said, I do think that it's once you've established the ability, you can interact in a more honest way because it's not, I'm afraid you'll leave me. Can I please make you like me? So that now my interactions can be based on giving. And that's the last thing actually that they talk about is service, is the guy who goes to India and takes care of the dying and just feeds him soup or gets him a glass of water. And it's for him, it's the only thing that matters is just being able to alleviate a little bit of suffering. And so, the ability to give back, to serve, but not just what we've done in some ways, which is donate money, which doesn't fill you up at all, but to participate in it. So, it made me think a lot about...
I tried that one, man. We got to find a better one.
Yeah, it's
I went
tough.
To a homeless shelter that was super oversubscribed for volunteers, and I felt like they were just trying to make me feel good. I literally stood next to someone whose job was to hand out potato chips, and I handed out water. He's like, bro, you can go home if you want. I can do potato chips and water. He's like, yeah, you can go home because I can do potato chips. And I was like, oh, fuck, this is not.
Do you want to go, dude?
No, it's just like, we're all here to try to feel good. And actually, they could be a third. They could have a third of the staffing.
Yes.
So it's finding the right thing is interesting. Doesn't Big Brother keep rejecting you because you refuse to say you're going to stay for a certain amount of time?
Well, that's the thing. I struggle with commitment. I struggle with you to say that I'm going to be here and do this for the entire year. It's like, I want to come in. I did think about this, though. This was another thing. I think it was the happiness thing. They talk about a high school, and they go into the high school, and there's this speaker there, and he talks to a bunch of 13-year-olds and is a very, very good speaker. So at the end, he gets them to come up and talk about the ways in which they're bullied in front of all of their classmates. Mm-hmm. And predictably, the kid's like, what's up, man? I'm Robbie. And then cut. It's not fair.
Yeah.
So it's, they're breaking down. They're having a hard time. But
does the guy chime in at all? Or this is just a monologue?
He helps them. Oh, he helps them. He coaches them through sharing and how they feel and how they wish they were treated and what would mean the world to them if their classmates changed.
Got it.
And
they just get bullied for that the next day.
Well, that made me think that's something that I might be better suited to.
Going and speaking.
I don't know anything about homelessness. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to help homeless people. What I think I am good at is helping I'm not really great with infants. I'm not really great with the younger, but somewhere between middle and high school, sort of path them out a little bit is something that I think I could do well. So my mom works in a middle school. She'll be watching this. She'll be thrilled to hear this. Maybe I'll come back and do something there. She's been asking me, but it was very interesting, and it was all stuff that we know, but it's not stuff that you're drawn towards naturally. It's in fact stuff that oftentimes.
What if it is the stuff you're drawn towards naturally, and marketing just gets in there?
Sure.
And just Well, scrambles up your brain.
I'm glad you brought it up. So then I'm looking at this other book for our business, which is called Story Brand.
Yep.
And for the longest time, marketers have been using the hero's journey, which is the story essentially of Luke Skywalker, who gets the mentor and then has the challenge. And finally, all three things come together in that final shot on the Death Star, where his internal, can I do it? His external, okay, I've got to actually hit the target. And the philosophical, good versus evil, all come together in that one shot. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. So marketers have been using this increasingly to sell products.
Yeah.
And the shot is when you click buy now. And when you click buy, your external, your internal, and the philosophical all come together to form one amazing explosion of perfection. And yeah, man, it's the technology of human teaching is being used to sell decks and
watches
and anything.
$150
t-shirts. Yeah, and I think we sell a great product.
Christmas University.
I think we sell a great product.
No, I agree.
But even then, I'm like, buying now doesn't do it. Buying now could be one small step, which, by the way, needs to be followed up by using it,
actually
doing it, following through. Yeah. And maybe there's a moment down the line where you're doing something in the course, which is that shot moment of your life. But it's not the buy now moment. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I was pulled and torn as I was reading this. Recognizing on the one hand this would work very well, and on the other hand not wanting to push consumerism will solve all your problems.
Yeah. I mean, we do kind of sell community, though. Like, if you're saying at the end of the day what makes people happy is strong relationships and community, that is the end result of what we
sure
sell.
But I think what we need to be clear on and say, maybe to our own detriment, is that this you can't buy community. You can't do it. You can't exchange money for community. This can help
unless
you.
Unless you join a fraternity.
Sure. This could be a shortcut. This can help you. This can give you a game plan,
yeah,
which you will then need. This is a guide on that path more than a it's done. Mm-hmm. It's taken care of, which is ultimately the things that you've bought with the most fervor is when you felt that way. Mm-hmm. Is some part of you is like, it's done. I hit buy now. My problems are over.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that was just another random little thing that came up in my happiness. And then the last documentary that I did.
Thanks for carrying the show today.
I got you.
I appreciate you.
You know what I did to carry it? I watched a bunch of movies. There's a bunch that I could talk about.
And YouTube.
And YouTube.
Yeah. You just YouTubed Comic-Con for a couple hours.
YouTube Comic-Con. Watched all the Eugenia Cooney things, which we can chat about. And so the last one I watched was on inequality. And it was essentially how from the 20s to today, the middle class has not done anything. Yeah. It's been flat or decreased while inequality has increased, wealth distribution, all this kind of stuff. It's interesting. I didn't want to talk about it too much because what I think it ignores is that globally, the middle class has exploded. Mm-hmm. And while I understand it, there's almost a sense of provincialism and selfishness that says we have to make sure the American middle class grows.
Well, also, I'm confused because it has grown in terms of quality of life, right?
Well, here's what's happened. Yes, you have Uber, you have all these things. People haven't stopped spending. This is perhaps the most disturbing part. Your wages have gone down. All of this hasn't happened. But every American has, relative to the 60s, the same lifestyle that they did. They just pay for it with debt and refinancing their mortgage.
Oh, but sorry, I mean, if someone from the 20s just like woke up,
yeah,
and it was 2019 and they were middle class, they would think they had become a prince, right?
Yes.
So it's the middle class relative to itself in the past is doing well in terms of increased quality of life.
Exactly.
But it's doing, but the gap,
the differential
in
is larger.
Lifestyle and quality of life or in
well, this is
money?
Essentially what the Republicans and Democrats argue about. A Republican argument, at least Republican fiscally, is going to say, rising tide raises all boats. Mm-hmm. You're so much better off than you were in the 20s or 30s. You want that 1950s lifestyle? You can go find it in Cuba. You
know, yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
Go ahead. Everyone's doing better, and we need to feed the biggest, most productive people in order for them to do it. The Democratic argument would be there's an element of society and happiness which is relative to the top. And when you're feeling like you can't make it and you can't get a cell phone and everyone else has a cell phone and you're taking out and you're in debt and you're stuck to your job, that's really not good. Mm. And
And the gap is in terms of net worth or in terms of
wages.
Happiness?
Wages are flat.
Okay.
Wages are flat. And then this is the other thing. You take this back to the happiness thing, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't change this, but does any of this matter to happiness? Yep. Is I don't know, because certainly we know that the people at the very top aren't necessarily happier. You want to create a society in which as many people as you can are feeling good, happy, et cetera. It's a big, complicated
stink
of a thing.
One of the guys, I mean, I could be totally wrong, but one of the guys I think I know is one of the happiest people that I went to school with. He is a lawyer in the state he grew up in the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't do an M&A, make as much money, sell out lawyer job.
Yeah.
He didn't go into investment banking because it was more prestigious. He just lives where he grew up with his wife and his kids and his dogs. And I think he's pretty stoked on
yeah.
it. So well, that's why I'm curious about this.
It's almost
it's like,
a head
what is
fake.
The solution? Is the solution...
Dude, it's almost a head fake. It's there's convincing people that that what they need is policy to put more money in their pockets. And it really did make me think that Andrew Yang is very much onto something. Because what this guy is sort of driving for is we need more jobs. And you don't need jobs. You need the ability to cover your needs and then meaning in your life. You don't need stuff to do that a robot could
be doing.
Well,
we've also talked about how we know a bunch of people who are middle class but own really expensive cars.
Yeah.
It's like, I wonder if we just need less car commercials.
It seems that it seems that this is treating a symptom. Especially in contrast with the happy documentary, mm-hmm. It seems that that is so much more fundamental and would guide our philosophy as we address politics so much more profoundly than starting with, okay, we've predetermined that what people need is a certain amount of money relative to their neighbor in order to live a fruitful life.
Yeah, we're almost just saying yeah. that keeping up with the Joneses is worth pursuing, mm-hmm. and we're going to help you do it.
Yes.
And I thought keeping up with the Joneses was a spoof.
Sure.
It's satire, right?
But, and I think it's worth saying for people who don't know your or my politics, that this doesn't justify not doing something about it. It just is the more fundamental question is what leads to human flourishing? Let's optimize for that for the most amount of people rather than presuming that it's GDP per capita at
sure.
spread.
I'm for wealth redistribution, but mm-hmm. I think I'm more concerned with the lower class. Is that like politically incorrect now? What do you call the poorest people? I'm more concerned with the poorest
line?
People
yeah.
than I am with the middle class.
Well, that's why we donate to charity water, right?
Well, that's like, what I'm saying. It's like, let's do taxes, yeah, let's do wealth redistribution, but I'm not so much worried. Like, oh, you wish you had a bigger house and two cars instead of your one car. It's more like this kid is 3 years old.
Yeah.
And if there's nothing changed, there's no shot that he can yeah. increase his life because there's no shot that he can afford to go to college. Also has to get a job at age 14 to
yeah.
pay for his brothers. Like, let's help that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Is well, my, and again, I don't, maybe I'm crazy, but
sure.
that's where I
sure.
shake out.
And
currently.
I also, there's so many things that go into the economic argument because I think of there's been times in my life where I've received handouts from my family when I was born for the first 18 years
yeah.
things were given to me. I think that was a good idea
sure
because I wouldn't have done it
sure.
I was actually pretty financially cut off at 18, but my brother wasn't, and he went into his 20s and received some money, had a credit card for emergencies, and I think that held him back.
Yeah, he got his act together in a big way
once that was
had
cut
to
off.
Support himself.
And so the question is...
Killing it now. Shout out, Henry.
Yeah, certainly there are times as a society where we want to step in and mm-hmm. be like, no, you're not going to do this on your own. You need a hand. You need help. But there are other times where you were not benefited, even when it hurts and even when Henry struggled to sleep and was stressed and had terrible jobs, that it was of benefit to him to be,
well, yeah,
no,
that was the
fuel. You're strong enough.
That wasn't fun, but that was like the fuel that got him to
yeah,
where he is now.
Exactly.
Which I don't think he would have gotten to if he had been, you know, continued to
if
give
he'd had that
gifts.
Credit card, he yeah. would not be where he is. So the question is when and at what point? And I don't know. That's something that I often think about, and I just try to, yeah, to help the people that I'm very clear. It's like, no, you definitely need it.
You need water.
You need that water. So all that was my week in documentaries.
Nice.
My week in
documentaries.
Well done. Let me see if there's one last thing. Bhutan. Yeah, that was it for me. Hop into topics for the day.
Sure.
Bring it over, Angel.
All right. So I heard you mention her name a moment ago, but yeah. YouTuber Eugenia Cooney is back online after a stint in rehab for an eating disorder. And she did a video with YouTube legend Shane Dawson.
Shane. He's great. He's such a good storyteller. You haven't seen it, I presume.
No, I just like that he's a YouTube legend.
He
Shane
is.
Dawson.
He is, man. Dude, he... I watched it because I'm prepared.
Yeah, I respect it. Sorry, man. I was cleaning up pee.
Yeah, no, you're fine. This is just what guilt at having created a lazy podcast does to me. So it's an hour-long interview. The first 35 minutes are prep. And I, when I do videos, I think, I'm going to waste people's time. I'm going to bore them. He is the master of suspense and putting the pieces in place and creating stakes and drama for something which ultimately, no knock on this, I did not think was very profound or interesting. She is, it's interesting. Interesting is true. The interview didn't go deep is what I would say.
Okay.
She is a YouTuber / Twitch person, seems very kind. When you look at her, it's tough to... You can't diagnose her. To say that she didn't have some sort of eating disorder would seem negligent. She is so skinny. You've never seen anyone as skinny as this outside of photos of people who are in really, really bad ways.
What's her name?
Eugenia Cooney. And people were concerned. People were mean. People were, you're going to die. People were saying, just eat a hamburger. She was not saying it. And then she kind of disappeared for a while. There was rumors that she was dead. The truth is that she was in rehab for food-related things.
And good for her.
Yeah, very good for her. And she, you're not supposed to say it, but she looks healthier, right? She looks like there's something on her at this point. Who knows what's going on in the inside, but she does talk in the interview about what it's like. And they watch you. They make you eat your food. They make you do this. They make you do the other things. Mm-hmm. What she doesn't get into, and I think is understandable that one wouldn't want to share this, is... This is a coping mechanism for something. Mm-hmm. And there's all these comments. I don't know her story, that her family life is messed up, that there's locks on the doors, that I don't know.
How
if
old
this
is, she?
Is. She's young 20s, I believe, if you know.
And she still
Angel.
Lives at home? Yeah, she's in her early 20s and she lives at home.
She lives at home. Allegedly, no idea, but I would bet that there's some family stuff going on there because these things don't happen in vacuums.
Sure. Did you see the Russell Brand quote from recently?
No.
It might even not be recently, but he talks about people say that marijuana is a gateway drug, painkillers are a gateway drug, childhood trauma is a gateway
drug. Yeah, yeah.
That's what he says. He's like, being molested, being abused, those are the gateway drugs. It's not weed.
Yep.
And I think there's truth to that.
100%. I mean, I don't even, to me, that's not even an argument.
Yeah.
That's a truism. But yeah, it's. I wish her the best. I hope that everything goes well. There's a lot of clapping.
Do you think they addressed it in rehab and she's not talking about it? Or do you think all they did was make her eat?
I don't know what they do in that rehab center. I certainly hope that they did because
they
do make the point. It could be eating a lot. It could be eating a little. It could be cutting yourself. It could be – there's a lot of different ways to cope with this inner feeling of turmoil. But fundamentally, there is a root cause, which – may or may not still be active in her life. And she didn't seem to want to talk about it. I think that totally respect her privacy regarding that. And I'm glad that a lot of people will see this, feel like, oh, this is me. There's a number that I can call. I do wish that with something with this reach, the root cause had been more at least referenced, addressed. It's something about your experience, your family, or who knows. But yeah, it's not just that you have a strained relationship with food for no reason. So it was an interesting documentary. He's an incredible storyteller. The dude is got chops, man. he gets
more
wasn't
views. He was beating TV
crushes
shows.
Netflix. He crushes Netflix. If you look on a per view basis, what is Game of Thrones season finale? I don't think gets as many views as a Shane Dawson video.
That's crazy.
Which is insane.
That's crazy.
So yeah, that's Eugenia. I wish you the best. What else?
So, Scarlett Johansson gave an interview to a website called As If, where she said that she should be allowed to play any person, any tree, or any animal, which the wording of that is kind of funny, but...
I think any tree makes total sense. She should be able to be Groot.
But basically, her point was that she shouldn't be limited to only playing white women. She should be able to play any human being or thing on this planet. And people are a little bit annoyed, especially since she has a past of being cast in roles that maybe... weren't appropriate for her. At least that's what people believe. So I don't know if you guys have anything to say about that.
Do you have an opinion?
I do. So it's a weird thing to me. I think we should just have a rule that's consistent.
Yeah.
So I would say let actors and actresses play whoever they can play convincingly to make the best art. If the world wants...
That's hyper subjective. So But you're saying like as judged by sales, as just let the market decide?
Probably the producers.
Well, I mean, the producers will be fired if people don't see their movies, presumably.
Sure, the market.
Yeah, so just what people want to pay for.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's, at the end of the day, that's how people mostly get paid in movies, mm-hmm. right? That's why Robert Downey Jr. makes way more than every other Avenger.
Yes, but the argument would then be that there are, if you don't let anyone who is of a certain race or whatever in, that they never even have a chance to compete because there are so few gatekeepers at the top.
Sure, people would be really mad if you didn't let a gay actress play a straight character.
Mm-hmm.
So I get that there's maybe you're a smaller minority if you're a gay woman than a straight woman. But it seems like weird favoritism and also a dangerous
precedent
route to go down. Mm-hmm. Because then it's like, okay, so it's just whoever claims to be the most oppressed gets the highest advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get weird stuff like people claiming they're Native American. I don't know. To me, it's confusing because I feel like the people that are upset at this would be really upset if they found out that trans actors and actresses were not getting cast except for trans protagonists.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, that would be crazy, right? Mm-hmm. This is a trans person, but it's just a person.
Mm-hmm.
They look like a man. Let them play a man. If they're good at acting and they can be Thor, who cares what they were born as, right? Yeah. But then that should work the other way, it seems, in my mind.
Yeah. So I was thinking of it, and I did have reactions to some of this stuff, but I tried to zoom out and be like, who cares? Which is, and the fact that we care is fascinating. I think that's the interesting point. They're getting people to argue like it matters.
Yeah, yeah.
Consider for a second that what Hollywood does doesn't have to impact your life at all. Sure. And you go, oh, it's on the magazines. Don't buy them. Don't watch. Don't, like, you do not have to plug into that matrix.
You're saying if you're a cis nor male or a transgender female.
Whoever you are.
It doesn't.
There's this thing. These are the people that we have. No, you don't have to. And I don't mean this. Like, if you don't like it, turn it off. Like, no, we should all stop pretending that these people dictate what life is or should be or should look like. And sure. I'm not saying that what you view doesn't have an impact. Clearly it does. I'm saying be more selective about where you spend your attention. I'm just, the medium is the message, all this kind of stuff. We're allowed to argue over the content. Should it be this or that? But nobody's saying, who says that Hollywood sets the standards?
Sure.
Maybe I should set the standards. We seemingly, and I think the reason is, we're all desperate for someone to tell us what it looks like to be wealthy, what it looks like to be cool, what it looks like to be capable. And we need these movies to latch onto, and we need them to look like us so that we know that we can do it. It seems like the inner growth is to go, this is fantasy.
Yeah.
This is a movie. They could have made a cat play this role, and it doesn't need to impact me. I can define what capable, sexy, cool looks like in my life. And perhaps the first step is to stop listening to the news about this kind of stuff. And if you want to go see the movie, go ahead and do it. But realize that it's fake. It's Monopoly. Yeah, I'm anticipating the rebuttal that, no, it's so important culturally, and it's so important because you say it's important. It's not important to the person who doesn't watch, right? To the person who unplugs. So that was my, I feel like, step back, higher perspective reaction.
That's what the U.S. does, right? The U.S. hyper values pop culture.
Yeah. Well, that's not what the U.S. That's what some people do. And to be clear, there's lots of people who don't. You don't hear their voice because they don't have Twitter accounts, but they live.
Yeah.
They're out there. And like your friend who lives in the middle of the country and has a small job and doesn't know any of this, they're probably happier than the people
for
who
sure.
care on either side. So
I'm just saying in other countries, they probably have the opinion that you're saying mm-hmm. would be healthy. But America puts a ton of value on these things. Like that's what we export. We export movies
Image.
And music.
Yeah, yeah. We export images of success.
Yeah.
And that is who gets to define success is the most powerful thing. This comes back to our whole happiness discussion. Where did you get the idea that you needed a Lamborghini?
Mm-hmm.
You've only seen a couple of them on your road.
Yeah, yeah.
You had to watch the music videos. You had to watch this. Where did you get the idea that you needed to be that beautiful? You've never seen anyone who looks like that.
Sure.
You had to watch this stupid movie.
Yeah, that's a Photoshop photo. There is no one that looks like that.
There is no one who looks like that. Yeah. So recognizing that it's not, for me even, and I like to read this news because it lets me know what's going on, but just, yeah, this is the Matrix, man. This is fake. Real life is in front of you. You can see what people look like and define success around you. So that was my slightly more enlightened take.
I like it.
I think.
What was your less enlightened take?
My less enlightened take.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Rage. No, what was my less enlightened take? I didn't know what to think, quite frankly. I had sort of your thought, which is like, I thought, but what? Can we just have a principle about this? But wait, we do have a principle. Do whatever the fuck you want, Hollywood. I'm going to do whatever I want. Yeah. Like, this is none of my business, was my the higher order take. So anyway, what else?
So there was a trend online this week where people were making photos of themselves look aging a couple decades with an app called Face App. And celebrities and everybody was posting pictures of them looking decades older. But then it came out that their terms on the app are a little sketchy, and people freaked out a little bit because it seems like it might have been a rumor, but people believed that the app was downloading your entire camera roll.
Yeah, this
which scared people.
BetterHelp thing all over again. Stuff gets popular. Somebody looks at the terms and conditions, which are written from a legalese perspective to protect them, and then presume
the worst
that these people want to down. Maybe they do. I'm suspicious. There was an Ian. There was one Gandalf. Is that Ian McKellen? Is that his name? Sure. They had one of him like 50 years ago. They did the face app filter, and he looks like Gandalf.
Oh, really?
It's so cool. I'm sure they've done it with a lot of people. It didn't turn out
the
right way.
They picked the best looking one.
They picked the perfect photo. It's awesome. Did you do it?
No. I mean, someone did it for me. I don't really get into the whole filter business in general. So yeah. This is how I try to stay sane. Just try to like not participate in this kind of stuff.
Not do that kind of stuff.
I thought it was interesting because everyone's like, oh, they're going to... I heard that the uproar was because it was a Russian company and basically they wanted everyone to have the face feature so that they could steal your identity or so that they knew how to match faces to names and have your information. It's like, Instagram and Facebook are out there. I could scrape this together so easily.
You're concerned that I know what you look like and your
name? If you have a public profile...
Didn't you do that when you made your Facebook profile?
Like any Russian hacker... Not even worth his salt that cared to could get your name, your social security number, and your face in 3 minutes. That was a weird one for me because
post privacy world.
Now this Russian company has your face. Okay, everyone already has your face.
Yeah,
it's over for you.
Yeah.
So that's what I thought was interesting.
I didn't see mine. Somebody wants to throw it up in the comments.
Yeah, someone named Charlie.
It's gonna be
mine. Looked like my dad. It was cool because I don't think I look like my dad. People say I do. And then Shalimar sent me this photo, and I was like, oh.
I wonder if it'll get to the point where it's fairly accurate. And that...
It looked like... I was like, oh, wow.
Dude, what if you could do it? What if it's good, but only up to 10 years, and you're dating someone?
Well, sorry.
And you put it through the filter. Now, obviously, life choices are going to influence it. But what if you could input a handful of things because you've got your Apple stuff going through your body, and it knows your body chemistry, and it's known your body chemistry for the last 3 years, so it's doing a predictive trend of the stuff that you put into your body. Combined with things that it knows about you. So people your age tend to have babies, and then that means that they tend to put on a certain amount of weight, and they tend to only lose this, like, where it could get close to accurate.
I don't think anyone would do anything based on that information.
You don't think so? You don't think you'd ever run someone that you were considering marrying through that and be like, let's see what could it show?
That they blow up? That they get super fat? Like
that you, at some point, are no longer attracted to them?
I don't know, because you're going to be older.
Yeah.
So I think...
What if you're a silver fox?
Well, why wouldn't they be a silver fox? That's what I'm... That's
what if they're a silver fox and you're not a silver fox?
That's what I don't understand by your question. Like, there's...
Well, there's... People tend, and they find this, to pair up according to relative ranking in the mating pool. Where you slot.
But don't be...
And you only know that today. Now, you're not doing it off of junior high because we've both come, like the person, that person might not have wanted to speak to you in junior high. Certainly, that's been my experience, right? When you can predict 10 years into the future, I just wonder if that will influence the decisions that people make when they see a large disparity.
If you have the same value, if you're super fitness and health conscious, you're going to end up with someone who's similar. So you're both going to stay in great shape. And if you don't care about that stuff, then you're not going to care if your spouse gets heavy.
Okay. We'll see. What else do we have?
Elon Musk gave a presentation about his new venture.
I didn't see this. Skip this one. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. So he gave a presentation on his new venture, Neuralink. And he basically just sort of wants to make humans and computers merged.
The same.
You're all about the Neuralink, right?
I read A Wait But Why, and it's convincing that this will not stop the AI overlords at all. Mm-hmm. It won't even slow them down because it speeds up everything to the speed of thought, which is the next. So in terms of bandwidth, we can take in a ton. I the amount of gigs that I'm processing right now, super fast. Mm-hmm. The amount of gigs that I'm putting out is terrible.
Down by your mouth.
It's terrible. So output is awful. Input is pretty solid. Computers are still going to destroy us, right? They've got multiple cameras taking in all this kind of stuff. But then my neurons slow me down. The speed at which I can synthesize different sort of information, it can only go as fast as a human brain can go. So even when our output is perfect, thought to this, and I'm able to telekinetically move things, I cannot compete with a computer that can go so much faster than thought.
Interesting. So you're no longer hot on the Neuralink.
I like Neuralink. I'm game for Neuralink, and it's going to create these cool hybrids. We'll be effective slaves to our AI overlords, but it still doesn't solve the problem of AI leaping over human capabilities. So it's still super cool. I think Elon Musk is, man, he's a madman. He's doing some incredibly ambitious things. So
he swings big.
Yeah, I like it. That's it for you? No Neuralink?
I don't know anything about it. I just know you were hyped on it because basically if you can't beat him, join him. Just become
a computer. We can't even join him. Now, maybe if we Neuralink together and we become like individual transistors in a big computer.
Oh, I thought that's what it was. Isn't Neuralink just like one step towards the singularity?
So I think you would probably start like all evolution does on a single. It would be a cell. You would be a cell unto yourself and you would do cell things, but then you and I would come together like the Borg.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I thought it was. I thought it was you'd form one giant human network over the world.
And then
you become one organism.
The animals and the rocks and the consciousness, yeah. So he's doing it for us. Thank you, Elon, for that spiritual that spiritual fast lane. I appreciate you.
Yeah, we are all one. Elon's just like, you've been saying that metaphorically.
Let's do it literal.
Let's do it. Why not?
Yeah.
Elon, this is madness. You're going to Neuralink a goat? Yeah. We are all one.
Science and spirituality are converging. Yeah. I like it. What else?
Instagram is testing a new feature where they're removing the amount of likes Instagram is testing a new feature where likes do not show in 7 different countries.
Yeah, it expanded out of Canada, right?
Yeah, right. We talked about this back in the day.
Yeah.
It's in Australia, Brazil, Canada, Ireland, Italy, Japan, and New Zealand now.
Those are pretty big countries.
Can you see your own number of likes or it's double blind?
I believe you could see yours. The people scrolling that they can't see it.
So that makes a lot more sense.
Interesting.
That makes a lot more sense because it still has the addictive quality for you.
Yep.
But it doesn't dissuade other people from feeling like they can't hang or compete.
Yeah. It's you're taking some power away from the top influencers, but not really, because at least economically
they'll still be able to send to their
they'll
brands.
Say,
yeah.
Listen,
there'll be
fit,
a share feature.
Fit tea.
Yeah.
They'll just take it'd be edited, but like, yeah, here's access to my account or something. They'll figure out a way. I get 1 million likes and you'll still be able to make money that way. But what it lets you do if you're an aspiring Instagram model is post photos as if you have those 1 million likes. Interesting. It's almost the opposite of what you would hope.
Yeah, it is. It truly is, which is incredible because
it sounds so good.
Well, they pitch it as we want people to feel good. And of course you don't. What you want is long-term sustainability in your company combined with short-term profits, which you're going to maximize at all costs.
Well, and I'm sure Instagram is not ignoring the fact that people like you are getting off Instagram because they think this is destructive to my life.
Yeah,
this is destructive to my happiness.
Well, studies, man.
Well,
they're familiar.
But, yeah, but what I'm saying is they're not worried about the fact that it makes people unhappy. But what worries them is there are people like you
who
getting off.
Yeah.
And so this is an interesting solution because you, every time you post a photo, will still get that dopamine dump of seeing a like.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be able to hate yourself if your most recent photo does worse than your last photo.
Yeah.
But the viewers won't know if you're a joker or a real person. So like right now there's the highest level of Instagram influencers and people know those are legit. And then there's the people who are just kind of fakers.
Yeah.
Now everyone's going to be able to pretend that they're in the upper echelon of influencer.
And purchasing followers becomes so much more effective. Because what used to happen is people would purchase followers that have 100,000.
Oh, can you still see follower counts? Just not likes?
I don't know.
For now, you could still see follower counts, just not the likes on the photos.
This is the exact opposite of what... Yeah. So you buy a bunch of followers.
And then nobody can double check.
No one can see that you are getting no engagement.
Oh, they'll shut the followers
down.
It's so easy to just keep buying these. There's always going to be ways to purchase that are faster than the
people do it now. That's how you can tell who's fake. Oh,
you click
their photo. 600,000 followers.
And 200 likes. And,
yeah, exactly. No likes. But they still bought the 600,000 followers somehow. Instagram hasn't shut that down.
Yeah, so you're going to be able to buy an account with a blue check, change the name, keep your follower count high.
No!
And what do they know? One other person liked it.
Oh, God, why?
Yeah. It's almost like they don't care.
Dude, it's the exact opposite of what you would hope.
Yeah.
Oh, we're doing this because we've heard that it has damaging psychological issues and we're going to fix it. Just kidding.
Just kidding. Sign up. Don't unsubscribe.
Yeah. Jeez Louise.
I'm staying on my anti-Instagram train. What else?
That's crazy. Thank you for that information, Angel, because it is...
Yeah, no, I thought
far
that
was worse than I had imagined.
I thought the same thing when I read that. I feel like this is just going to make everything worse.
Yeah.
Well, worse for the way that you feel, but better for
Instagram's bottom line.
Yeah.
Weird how that worked out that way.
Okay, well then, so then fan questions.
Cool.
Fan qua.
All right, so we have a couple questions. The first one, so I picked one, but there's actually a lot of versions of the same question this week, which is basically...
Good one to pick.
Well, something you guys touched on last week, but I think people want to hear a little bit more about it, is basically just how do you make friends? This one specifically is, what do you recommend for making new friends in your late 20s? And that comes from Victor.
From Victor. Do you want to go?
How to make friends in your late 20s? I mean, I know what I did.
Did we talk about this? So we talked more about college and the spoke. Well, go ahead.
I don't remember. I'm very sleep deprived. But what I did was I wore my interests on my sleeve. And so I was super into personal development at the time. So I started the New York Personal Development Meetup with you and Scott Britton.
Yeah, man.
And we went and spoke about things that we cared about. And from those audiences came some of my closest friends, even to today. Guys that like come to my family Thanksgiving
because
they're not from the U.S. So number one thing I did in my 20s was I was really transparent about what interested me, which was fitness and personal development and charisma. And I just talked about it a lot. I wrote about it. I went to meetups. I hosted meetups. And that was awesome. And then I stopped because I started traveling abroad. And all my friend-making stuff basically stopped. Because now I have some friends in Brazil, but I don't really keep in touch. And we lived in Colombia. Actually, two of our friends from Colombia live in LA now. But anyway, traveling abroad to a new place every 6 months is a terrible way to make long-term community. But a good way to do it is to be transparent about what you care about.
Yeah, I agree. I could opine about stuff that I've never done, which is invite a friend to bring a friend to a dinner. But I did exactly what you did, which is we just were driven in what we were interested in, and we wrote blog posts, shared about it. So I have not had to put in work, which is if you're interested in an agricultural style of friends where you plant seeds and they come to you. I mean, it's nice.
It was awesome.
It's nice.
It was awesome. We would speak at meetups and events, and then people would come up and talk to us. We'd be nice to everybody, but kind of keep an eye out for people you thought, oh, I could get along with this person. You just say, hey, this was cool. Do you want to get coffee? Do you want to get lunch? They're stoked because they've seen you at a thing. They know that you have these shared interests.
Yeah. And then on the rare occasion where today, now granted, we've had a level of success that isn't going to be typical, but on the rare occasion where we will reach out to someone, they're familiar, they've heard, and it's, oh yeah, we'll get lunch. And you did this last week with someone that is too busy to get lunch with people. Mm-hmm. Right? And it's just, it's nice. So yeah, where to start concretely? Meetup.com. You can either attend a meetup if they have it already, and if they don't have one, start it. Then go to a Reddit. Mm-hmm. Say, we're doing this meetup on this day. You can go to the Reddit in your city. You can go to the Reddit for that particular interest. And that is truly where we started. And the first one that we ever did got one of our best friends ever, who was here last week visiting from Australia. Mm-hmm. So that worked immediately.
Yeah.
And so that's what I would recommend. What else?
So the next question comes from user Professor Giggs.
Professor Giggs.
Professor Giggs says, hi, Charlie and Ben. Your video seriously helped me during my college years. Since I'm currently reading Benjamin Franklin's biography, have you two ever considered doing charisma breakdowns on historical figures?
You had to read that for school, right?
Yeah.
You went to
Yeah, I sure did. Gonna be honest with you, kinda did that thing where you read it just enough to get a good grade on the thing you're doing.
Yeah.
I don't remember any of it.
Got it.
Except for that he
invented the pros cons list.
He would ask for a library book from someone that he wanted to be friends with. That's all I remember.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, what was the question?
The autobiographies. So here's the thing. Well, tough to do breakdowns before historical. There were video.
Yes.
So Ben Franklin would be a really tough charisma breakdown. You could talk about him, but I actually think it would be very boring relative to having video examples.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about doing Hitler at one point because I'm Jewish, so that's allowed. But we decided that it might be risky for you to do Hitler since you're not, and people might get offended.
Yeah.
But that's basically as far back as you can go.
So, yeah, the video really makes it tough. And obviously, I don't speak German, which neither does most of our audience.
Well, that's why people keep saying do Vladimir Putin, which is, yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot there, but
I can't access what he's saying very easily.
Even if you have the
subtitles.
Even if you have the subtitles, you don't have the culture that he came from.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tough to pretend that you can read the situation
the
way it's actually happening.
Yeah. So the one thing that might be cool, and I haven't really thought about this, but there's excellent biographies that are on this. Genghis Khan had a cool biography. It would have to be a higher order thing. Clearly, body language is not going to make it into anything that we did like this.
Well, you could do like Ben Franklin's rules for charisma and talk about reciprocity.
But no one would watch
that. What I was going to say. No one cares.
Just make another Connor. Sorry. This is just not popular enough. I would love to break out of whoever is starring in the next movie, but
the truth is people would rather watch Tom Holland tell stories about awkward things and then learn how to turn their awkward things into
Ben
stories.
Ben Franklin by probably a factor of 100, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
40,000 to 4 million.
It's just based on the fact that there's video of it. If we had sick video of Ben Franklin, I'm sure we could do a great breakdown.
Yeah, he'd be super cool. What else we have?
The last question I have for you guys is very specific. User Fosmal27 says...
Hello, Fosmal.
You have mentioned in several of your videos that laughing makes people feel good. However, I'm not one of those people that can laugh on cue. Mm. Something actually has to be funny for me to laugh. How can I make up for this? Because I don't want to fake laugh either.
Well, yeah, don't fake laugh.
So there's... Well, do you have an initial thing?
Yeah, you fire away. I actually used to have this problem.
I don't know the answer. We met a guy, he was a bit weird, at one of the events that we went to that did laughing classes.
Laughing yoga.
And they start, and they just, I'm not going to do it because it will make you laugh for real. I think there's a degree to which laughing is a muscle. And part of the reason that it's harder for you for something actually has to be funny is because I think, let me even take a step back. There's a bit of pride that goes into having a difficult to crack sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
And I can certainly relate to it. And it makes you feel more cultured and sophisticated when you don't laugh at dumb jokes.
It's elite.
And it makes you feel significant and special when you don't laugh at things that everybody else laughs. And it actually gets in the way of enjoyment and happiness of your own life.
We had two guys in our high school. I won't name them, but they were this to an insane degree.
Yeah.
They took joy in nothing except for shitting on things that other people took joy in.
Yeah. And
it made them feel better than everyone.
And
I'm not saying that's you.
No. But that is something to search internally and ask yourself, do I take a bit of pleasure in this?
Yeah.
And does not laughing make me feel smart at all? Because that's getting in the way of you enjoying your life. If you can get past that, practicing is actually really, really, I think, useful. And that's why people go to laugh yoga, because it's not that you have an overdeveloped sense of humor. It's that you have an underdeveloped one sometimes. The Dalai Lama laughs at everything. And I truly believe that he is of a spiritual enlightenment level that is so far ahead. And when I see a lot of these gurus, Sadhguru, they just are constantly laughing. I think that's a sign of a development of oneself. They say the laughing Buddha.
Mm-hmm.
So... yeah, maybe you do want to do some laugh yoga. And I haven't looked into the concrete specifics. I will, because this is something that I think is good for me and for everyone. I'm curious if you have any concrete ones.
Yeah. So I used to have – so it's funny. I used to laugh a lot. Mm-hmm. Well, when I was in New York, I got free tickets to a comedy club anytime I wanted to go because they said that you just make everyone else laugh.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They were like, dude, you're great. The Comedy Cellar.
Did they really?
Yeah, they said, dude, anytime you want to come, any show, free.
That's
they just gave
incredible.
They gave me like 30 of them. They're like, your laugh is so loud and so contagious. And you're a cheap laugh.
You're kidding.
Like, you make the room better.
That's so funny.
Then I got vocal cord surgery.
Oh.
Yeah. And when you are recovering from vocal cord surgery,
you can't make a noise.
You cannot make a noise. You cannot speak. You cannot sing. You cannot laugh. And so for the health of my body, I got really good at watching something funny and going and being dead quiet.
Mm.
And then my vocal cords healed, but my habits stayed what they had become.
That's interesting.
And so, so it was not because I was trying to be haughty. It's not because I was elite. It's because I had learned to swallow my laughter. So it could be maybe that this guy's family just is abusive or not abusive, but maybe they...
That's not what they do.
Scold you if you laugh. Mm-hmm. It's disruptive, whatever it is. So what I did was I decided that that sucked. That I wanted to get back to my old self. And I became that guy that Seinfeld makes fun of, where people would tell jokes and I go, oh, that's really funny. And I wouldn't laugh. I wouldn't laugh. And I went, this is not okay. This is not who I want to be.
Ooh.
Yeah. No, brutal. But that's the vocal cord surgery. So I started purposefully watching things that I thought were funny when I was home alone and just getting used to, you could watch a 1 hour special on of a comedy that you like, and maybe you're not laughing at the beginning, but towards the end you are. Yeah. And I agree with you. It is a habit. It's very muscle-esque in the sense that reps make you better at it. And so I was like, all right, every day I was going to watch something. I was watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I was watching Netflix specials. I was just finding stuff that made me laugh and purposely watching it just so that it would make me laugh more in my the rest of my life.
That's super interesting.
This is as of like 2.5 years ago since we moved to LA.
And you found that it's been helpful?
Hugely helpful. Hugely helpful.
And you think you attribute it to watching these things on a semi-daily basis?
Brooklyn Nine-Nine was super helpful.
Mm-hmm.
It just made me want to be like Jake Peralta. He's a funny guy, so I was making more jokes. It also made me laugh. It hits my sense of humor. But the thing is, find what's good for your sense of humor is basically the number one thing you can do.
Oddly enough,
laugh at it a lot.
This is probably one of the most beneficial things you could do for yourself. Not only from a personal happiness perspective, but when you make the people around you feel funny, that's so good for your charisma. Everybody likes to be around that person. It's very different when someone forces a laugh to try to be liked.
Sure.
But when you've developed this ability to just take joy in things and find things funny, people have no problem with that at all.
Yeah.
So this is, oddly enough, watching funny stuff for a half hour every day could be more important than a lot of the other things that you think that you ought to be doing. So
no, it's huge. And then the other thing that was really helpful for me, which I'd never recommend someone in the United States do because it's illegal, is ayahuasca. But if you live in a place or can travel to a place where it's legal, ayahuasca was incredibly helpful for me.
Yeah.
I literally had a pump. So it's, you take this plant medicine and then you throw up. I had this moment where I haven't cried in so long. Eventually I'll crack. But I went in, I was like, I'm going to cry. I'm finally going to do it. And I went in, I was like, unrepress your emotions, unrepress your emotions. That was my mantra. And I felt this throw up come that I thought was going to be physical vomit.
Yeah.
And as it came out, I felt really sick. And then all of a sudden I just burst out into hysterical laughing, like huge, loud laughing. And so that was the repressed emotion because of the vocal cord surgery. So that was incredibly helpful too. But even without that, the watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine every day was really helpful. So those are the two things.
Ayahuasca, baby.
Yeah. It's crazy. I literally had this exact issue.
I want to go back.
To Brooklyn Nine-Nine? It's good.
To Aya.
I had my ex-girlfriend's Hulu account, and she was very nice. She let me keep it for a full year after our breakup.
Really?
But Brooklyn Nine-Nine kind of got canceled and then brought back. And I was midway through the newest.
She cut you off.
She cut me off
because
she's got a new boyfriend.
No way she cut you off.
So I have to get my own
Hulu. But why did she cut you off, though? She didn't have to do that.
Oh, I'm sure there's just a limit to accounts.
Is that some vindictive hate right there?
Could be. I don't know.
Wow.
I was like, hey, I appreciate you letting me keep it for a year post-breakup.
You got to spend $8 a month now?
Yeah.
That's not right.
You could say she saved me $96.
That's pretty good.
For a year.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
So
I appreciate it. I kind of thought I'd get cut off day one.
Yeah. That would be some vindictive. You're off my Netflix.
No, I'm sure there's a device limit. She was just like, oh, wait, what is this?
Who is this guy?
Ken? What? It even still had like my name.
Yeah.
I was like, thank you, Emily.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that'll wrap for today.
Yeah.
I think we ran a little bit long, but hope you guys enjoyed this. This episode is sponsored by Charisma University.
Oh, yeah.
Boost your charisma today. 30 days to more confidence. I need to know what to say. If you guys want to check out the course, it is in the
60-day money-back guarantee. So you can buy it and try it. And if you think it sucks, you just let us know and we'll
check
give
it
you
out.
Your money
check
back.
It out. I think it's great. The students seem to very much like it. We'll try to get all the reviews together and compile how many ratings. But if you want to check it out, it's in the description.
Let us know what you like hearing us talk about.
Yeah.
Because we're kind of making this up. So if there's a segment you like, say more questions, less
questions.
If I
talk too long, let me know. If we want this shorter. You know what? If you've made it this far, I'm going to ask a question. Ben and
God
I.
God bless. No one's made it this
no
far.
No one's made
You're
it here.
You're still watching. You're a legend.
This is going to have to be a clip. So Ben and I are considering where this podcast fits into our life and our business. And we don't know yet. Certainly from a financial perspective, we've talked about it. Big fat L. It's going to remain a big fat L for a long time. If it ever gets out of that. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that it's not worth doing. It could be worth doing because you guys enjoy it and because we enjoy it.
Could be the next way we meet our new Benji.
The question is, at once a week, it's tough for us to get good at the podcasting skill. Doing anything once a week, lifting weights, going out with your charisma, none of that works well once a week. And so when I look at the people who are good at this, the Howard Sterns of the world, they do it every day. Mm-hmm. And so what we've considered is a shorter format every weekday. We were talking about calling it lunch break, like 30 minutes that you could listen to on your way.
I haven't trademarked that yet.
I'm going to have to watch a documentary every day. And so if that interests you, let us know. Conversely, if you prefer the longer format week thing and you just would rather get it all in one, let us know that. Maybe we can even throw up a poll. I don't know how that stuff works. But please let us know if that interests you or not in the comments.
And you're a true hero for making it this far.
Yeah.
Thanks for watching.
All right. Peace.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.